Bungie has won a lawsuit against a cheat maker, which sets some interesting legal precedents for future battles. Plus, Evercade has entered into the Arcade 1-Up territory with a new announcement. Tonight is June 2nd, 2024, and the Bobby Blackwell Show, featuring your calls and chat comments, is up next.
So you would say, even if... Okay, I'll let you go. You talk. Wow, what happened to your voice? Thank you, Skype. So video games, that's what the show is about.
This is everyone, Akia Ripper from Sweden.
And what's with all the Halo hate, Bob? You've been hating on Halo a lot lately.
I just don't like shooters. I'm not saying it's a bad game, I just don't like it. Billy O'Kay says he can't be seen in public playing games that aren't hardcore. What would people say? And what up, G and Chad is once again talking about wrestling. That's why. It's not because they hate the fans. It's more because they have to start from scratch.
Hogwash later.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, Bobby Blackwolf.
You want to know what the real hogwash is? It's pod culture. Being holed up in one room because the HVAC died right at the beginning of summer. Your HVAC dying right at the beginning of summer or at the beginning of winter. Both of them suck. I would say the summer, it dying at the beginning of summer sucks more. But it's up to you. But that's the real hogwash. So I am sorry to hear that. Welcome to hopefully a less hogwashy edition of the Bobby Blackwell Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as sometimes reminisce about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwell. If you're joining us live here on this first Sunday night of June, thank you so much for being here. We do try to tape the show each and every Sunday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, over at the Voice of Geeks Network Twitch channel, twitch.tv/VogNetwork. That's where you can join us, and I'll be trying to read intelligent comments from chat throughout the night, as well as commiserating, because Pod Culture said it's 3 more days till the new one comes, $9,000 for the replacement. And the Breakman in our chat room said, O-U-C-H, holy that's what he said. And he actually did write the word B-L-E-E-P, which comes out to that's what it translates to. Sorry about that. I've had to replace two HVAC units in my house because my house has two of them. One of them was original to the house in 1985. When it finally had a part go bad in, I think, 2019, they told us, well, we'd have to try to get a 3D printer to print this part because they haven't made this particular part since the 90s. We're like, let's just replace the whole thing. And that was original to house 1985. The other ones had the other unit, because I've got one for the upstairs and one for the downstairs. It was replaced in like 1997, and we had to replace that one in like 2021 or something like that. So I feel your pain. Because they were both about $9,000, and the brake man would go, O-U-C-H, holy at hearing that. Homeownership sucks, because when you own your own place, you have to do all this yourselves. And renting has its own problems, because then you've got to convince the landlord to fix this stuff if you're renting. So I understand. But anyway... let's cheer you up tonight. Let's try to cheer you up. If you are not here live, this is a podcast feed. Our Discord server, vognetwork.com/discord, is where you can find out more things that we're talking about. You can suggest topics. We didn't get that many topics this week because I'm not going to bore you all with how hyped I am, trying not to get hyped about College Football 25 from EA Sports. But it comes out the day of Southern Fried Gaming Expo, so no matter how hyped I get, I'm not going to play it for 3 days anyway. Because I'm going to be at Southern Fried Gaming Expo, which we are sponsors once again, at the Southern Fried Gaming Expo in Atlanta. That is in July. It's mid-July at the Renaissance Waverly Hotel / Cobb Galleria. I can also tell you that I am going to be bringing back my speedrun showcase. An Eternal Enigma is going to be coming up. This has not been publicized yet. You're going to get here first. The past couple of years, An Eternal Enigma and I have been doing kind of a speedrun showcase where he speedrun the game and I kind of translate what's going on to people who've never seen speedruns before. And we did like Silent Hill 2 and then Silent Hill 4. And this time we're going all the way back to the PlayStation 1 and running Silent Hill 1. So we're going to be doing that live at Southern Fried Gaming Expo. Don't know when yet. The schedule's not going to come out for a bit. But I'm also going to be on another panel about being a retro streamer, because I've done that before. I don't do it that much now, but I've done that before. And so I'm going to be up there with Ash Said Hi and I believe like Cartridge Blowers and Eternal Enigma as well. All like people that I met through Games Done Quick. So that's going to be a lot of fun. So I'm going to be there doing that. And obviously I'll be taking video and stuff. But we are a sponsor once again. So we're very proud to be a sponsor of the Southern Fried Gaming Expo. So if you're in the Atlanta area and you like arcade and pinball and maybe tabletop and, you know, maybe wrestling. Because that's the one thing that's not like all the others, but also the classic computers, because the vintage computer festival is there. Come down to Atlanta in July, and then come back for Dragon Con in September. I'm gonna hopefully have some really interesting things to say about that in July, maybe August. I don't want to say anything now. So, and the other thing I'm going to welcome everybody to, this is basically starting not E3 week. So I actually don't have that much news because all the news is going to be saved. And this is the time, like, it really sucks in the tech industry right now. And I'm very cognizant of that. I know that there's a lot of, you know, people that have been laid off. But this is the time when we're kind of getting announcements and getting some good news about what we can play as consumers and what we can do as consumers. That's kind of what I want to focus on for a little bit, knowing that we really need to do stuff about, you know, for the workers that work in the industry that make these games, because that is still it's still not doing too well in that department and having more layoffs and stuff. We haven't had any new layoffs this week, I am assuming, well, because we're not near the end of a quarter. Once we get to the end of a fiscal quarter, we're going to start seeing those again. So in a couple of weeks, we'll probably hear about more layoffs after all this not E3 stuff. But I did want to mention that the Sony State of Play occurred. I was not able to watch it live. I kind of skimmed through it. My game of the year got... my game of the year has probably already been come out. But my game of the year... Astrobot is coming back, and it was what they closed the show with. I was actually very happy about something with Astrobot, and it's the fact that they did what I felt they should, and they kept it as a PlayStation fan service game, which I didn't think they would do. Because Astrobot Playroom thing, I can't remember what it's actually called on, but it comes with the PlayStation 5, and it's essentially like you are playing through PlayStation's history as Astrobot. Now, Astrobot existed on the PlayStation 4, and it was a pretty good VR platformer, but it was Astrobot. It really didn't play to the PlayStation brand, but the Astrobot game that's on PlayStation 5 that comes with your PS5, it's actually pre-installed on your PS5 when you get it. It's supposed to be like, here's the controller and here's what the controller can do and here's how to use things. But it was very much like you were getting a PlayStation 1, a PlayStation 2, a Vita, a PSP. It actually like acknowledged that stuff, and it had all these like little Easter eggs that called back to PlayStation games. And I was afraid that if they were going to make a new title, that when I first saw this, I'm like, well, that it was a fun little platformer, but it was really special because of the PlayStation fan service. And even in the beginning of the trailer that played, they didn't do too much of the PlayStation fan service. It was kind of just like, okay, you know, it's you know, I'm playing Astrobot and stuff. And then at the end, and kind of end, it shows that, no, they really are going into PlayStation's past. There are the same Easter eggs that are all through this. So this is going to be, I don't know how much it's going to cost, but it's going to be a full-on retail game that plays like the PlayStation 5 game that is pre-installed on your PlayStation 5. So this is what I am most excited for. from the state of play. There was another game that I was excited for until I heard what it was, or until I saw what it actually was, and it actually opened the show. And it's a game called Concord, and it had they had a big, you know, kind of story trailer, and it really gave me Guardians of the Galaxy vibes in terms of like that the characters and what they were trying to do. It was, you know, obviously it wasn't Guardians of the Galaxy, but I remember I played the Guardians of the Galaxy game because it was on Game Pass for a while, and I remember it won all of those like best narrative awards, and we're like, how did this game win the best narrative? And wow, it really did have a great narrative. So I was like, well, maybe this is Sony's take on the Guardians of the Galaxy gameplay with that kind of humor. And then the trailer ended and it went to the guy, went to the people that were actually talking about it. And they're like, now we're going to show you gameplay from our 5v5 competitive FPS shooter. And I was like, oh, so then I lost interest. So it was basically it's Sony's Overwatch is what they were doing. And they had the story trailer. So you get to know the characters, the heroes. And that, I immediately checked out of Concord. So I was like, I was all in. I thought it was going to be like one of those great single player narratives games that Sony's really known for. You know, that's, you know, Spider-Man, God of War, Last of Us, all like good narrative games. And I thought if they took the Guardians of the Galaxy game and Sony'd it up, and gave me something like that with these new characters, I would love it. And then Overwatch. And they're like, no, it's an Overwatch. It's an Overwatch game. The Breakman says, if you don't want Bobby to play, just add guns. I don't mind the guns. It's not that. It's just, it's an online-only game. It's like Helldivers is online-only, and so Concord is online-only, and I would continually let my teammates down. That's really what it is. I don't like letting other people down with my terrible play. Darklaw says also that new Marvel Rivals game is also Overwatch. Yeah, everybody's now, there was a time everybody was making Battle Royales because Fortnite was huge. And then Overwatch came out and everybody's trying to make 5v5 hero shooters. And we're now seeing that come out because it takes a couple years to make these if you do it right. And so I wonder what we're going to see next. I mean, what we're probably going to see next is more games like Fall Guys. And it's going to be like another year or two, and we're going to start seeing all the Fall Guys clones. All those, like, you're not shooting each other, you're trying to, you know, pass obstacles against hundreds of other people. I think that's going to be the next one that we're going to see more of. And you may think, well, that genre died, you know, Fall Guys isn't as popular now. It takes time to make a better one. Fifth Dream hopes for more survival crafting games, but with big IPs. Like maybe Pokemon? I don't know. We could maybe have Pokemon one. Breakman asks, and I'm sorry, Pod Culture. Breakman asks, are you not going to be playing college football, NCAA college football online? No, I never play those online. That is all I set the difficulty down to easy, and this made more sense when my college wasn't, when my alma mater wasn't the team that everybody was like so tired of winning it all, because we win it all the time now. But I would get them the national championship, and then I would like take the small school and get them the national championship and all that stuff. So no, I don't play it online. It is a fantasy of me being the best college football player ever or the best college football coach ever. And that is how I play games to do things I can't do in real life. Like play football. E3 Vale says Overwatch and Fortnite were highly praised and popular when it came out, and Fall Guys not as much. Actually, Fall Guys was huge when it came out because it was free on PlayStation Plus, and so everybody loved it, and then Epic bought it, and now it's fully into the Epic ecosystem. So it's you know, Epic owns it now. But no, it was hugely popular. Like even I played it online when it came out because it's not. It's a take on the Battle Royale formula, but it's not competitive in the sense of you're trying to shoot all the other people. It can be, but really it's more trying to get to the end. Mike Def says, I need to get back to Fall Guys, but I don't want to open Epic Games. I understand that. Yeah, so we're going to get a lot more Summer Games Fest. The Jeff Keighley, basically the Game Awards without the awards, is going to be this coming Friday. We did get the invitation to co-stream it, so that is a possibility. I'm going to have to talk to people to see if that is a possibility for us, so that may happen. Go to our Discord server, vognetwork.com/Discord for that. There's going to be, I think the Microsoft thing is going to happen. Everybody's going to kind of have their like little presser events this June, even though E3 no longer exists. But that this is going to be the time that we're going to see a lot of announcements. We've already seen some. We'll talk about one in a second. But the first news story I want to talk about is Bungie won a case that is going to have a lot of implications later on. PC Gamer reports that former Kotaku editor-in-chief Stephen Totilo reported that Bungie has won its lawsuit against cheat maker Phoenix Digital, also known as Aim Junkies. The first-of-its-kind jury trial rewarded $63,210 in damages to Bungie, which is a rounding error for a company of that size. But it more importantly sets a new legal precedent, supporting game studios looking to sue cheat makers or, more worryingly, anyone who violates a company's copyright by modifying its games. Developers suing cheat makers is not new. Bungie has led the charge on lawsuits against these services, which have become professionalized in recent years, often selling cheats for specific games on a subscription basis. In addition to playing the whack-a-mole game of developing new, more invasive forms of anti-cheat software, the legal strategy has paid dividends for Bungie and other developers like Riot Games. Typically, cheat manufacturers have immediately folded in the face of legal pressure like this, but as reported in Totilo's newsletter Gamefile, Aim Junkies countersued Bungie, alleging that the developer illegally accessed one of the cheat maker's computers. So cheating in a video game is not illegal. The legal basis for suing cheat makers rests on the argument that reverse engineering a game to produce cheats violates the developer's copyright. So this is really a DMCA violation is what they're going for. Aim Junkies, in turn, allege that Bungie violated its copyright by accessing one of its employees' computers. In response, Bungie argued that its access to the Aim Junkies PC was just part of the normal detection process of Destiny 2's anti-cheat covered by the game's EULA and user license agreement. So, what is kind of interesting here is this is the first time an end user license agreement has come up in a court case. And the jury cited I don't think that was in front of the jury, but I think the judge sided with Bungie saying, well, no, they covered it in the end user license agreement, so they're allowed to scan for that part of your computer. And because I've talked about it multiple times, end user license agreements have never come up in court. Everybody settles before it gets to court. So they're trying to say Bungie that the EULA does not give Bungie permission to access their computers, even though it says it does. Legally, it doesn't. And the courts actually said in their countersuit, it does. So I wonder if that's going to have that part is going to have a ripple effect because it's the first time a EULA has been tried in court. They can still appeal and all that stuff. But the cheat makers, it was found that they violated the copyright in order to make these cheats, and they are a professional company selling these. They are making money on violating Bungie's copyright, which is probably where they went wrong, because you cheating in a game, putting in a game genie and putting your cartridge in a game genie, that's not against the law. That is not illegal. What is illegal is selling things that modify the copyright of a game that is currently being played. And that is what the jury has awarded. Now, the $63,000, why it's that low, is because that's how much profit Aim Junkies made. That's basically Bungie is taking all the money that they made off of this anti-cheat software. That's all they could get, or off of this cheating software, because the Aim Junkies were the ones selling the cheat software that the anti-cheat was trying to stop. That is how much money they made. So legally, that's all Bungie could get. But it is the this legal precedent now that cheating that violates a copyright is something that can be shut down legally. The Breakman says, are we going to have to start reading every line of agreements before saying yes? You should have been doing that from the beginning. They hide some stuff in there, a lot of stuff in there that you agree to, which is why it hasn't been tested in court yet. Same with when you get a credit card. You really should be reading every line of that fine print, which is like, they send you like this little book that's like 10 pages long, and it's like 2-point font, and it's like all you got to get a magnifying glass to read it. Yes, you probably should be reading that, just like you should be reading every user end user license agreement to every piece of software you install, because it'll tell you what your rights are and what the company grants you the rights for, not necessarily what the courts grant you the rights for, but what the company grants you the rights for. And some of that even is you waive the right to sue them. You have to go to arbitration instead, and sometimes that's in there. So, yes, Breakman says, I don't know if I've ever read a sentence. Yeah, I mean, then you get what you get. And the Breakman says it would take me a day before I say yes. That's what they're counting for. What the companies are counting on is that you just skip right through and hit I accept. And that's why they can put all that stuff in there, is because you're just going to scroll. The majority of people are going to be like you and just scroll through and say yes. So it's going to be, I don't know what precedent this is going to set. It's going to set some kind of precedent. We're going to see probably when the next court case happens, if it references this one. We're also going to see if there's any appeals from AIM junkies, because it sounds like they're going to they're going to fight this. And you know what? I actually want that to happen. I actually want some companies to stand up against the large corporations, like and Bungie is not a large corporation that much anymore. Now they're Sony. They were independent, I think, when they did this. So they're not a large company, but they're part of a large one. And even if in this particular case, me personally, I'm on the side of don't let people cheat. So I'm technically on the side of the big corporation in this. I want it challenged, and I want it in court, and I want it to be something that is settled law. It is settled case law, and we don't have that for a lot of things. We don't have it for emulation. We don't have it for, well, we have some settled case law for emulation, but not other parts of it. We, you know, for EULAs and user license agreements, I want somebody to go up against Microsoft and try to claim that the EULA is a non-binding agreement. We only got that for in terms of workers' rights. Only very recently did a judge rule that non-compete clauses are not legal. And those have been standard in employment contracts, especially in the tech world, for decades. And, you know, it's actually now been ruled finally in court just in the past couple years that non-compete clauses are illegal. And so they can't be enforced. They actually cannot enforce in some states. It's only happened at the state level. So it really depends on the state. And you're going to have to look that up yourself, because I'm talking about it on top of my head. But, you know, we need people that will actually take it to court and get a judgment, because a settlement does nobody any good in the future. It might do you good. You know, you might, you know, get some money if you're the plaintiff. And the defendant settles and just sends you a bunch of money. That's great for you, but it's not great for the next person, because there's no settled case law. Questbuster says, it's interesting in seeing EULAs evolve from text in a manual asking you not to pirate a game and be a meanie in PC titles from the early 80s to the multi-page legalese you need to agree to, sometimes multiple times if online interactions are involved today. Yes, because there's different EULAs. There's EULAs for your offline portion, and then a separate one for the online, for the account, because that's a different end user license agreement. So your account, so like let's say you're playing a game online that has an offline and an online component, so not Destiny, not Fortnite, something like that. But let's say, a sports game on EA Sports, you have the EULA for playing the sports game, and then you have another EULA for your EA Sports account so you can play it online, and maybe even another EULA for their microtransaction ultimate team BS or bull if you prefer. So that's three different EULAs, because it's three different services and three different things. And they expect you not to read any of it. But they do make you scroll through it. Have you noticed that? Where like sometimes you can't accept it until you scroll through the bottom, because then you've seen it all. Now, did you read it? No, but your eyeballs looked at it, And so legally they can say, well, yeah, you saw it. You scrolled through it. You had to go down to the bottom and then you hit accept. Breakman says LMAO and be a meanie is what the language they should have used. The shareware developers did say that. They're like, please don't be a meanie. I mean, Google used to say don't be evil, and they destroyed that. They actually said, no, we can't say that anymore, because they realized in order to be the corporation that Google wanted to be, or Alphabet or whatever, they had to actually be evil. If you run a big company, you have to be evil in some sense. You have to be a jerk to be a CEO at a company, because you have to make some of those evil decisions in order to be successful. So once a company gets large enough, they have to be evil in some way. Small businesses don't need to be evil, but if you want to ever grow to being a large, successful company, you have to do some evil things, which is why Google got rid of don't be evil when they realized that they had to be a little bit evil in order to make more money and please the shareholders. The Breakman says, I'm going to have to go back to playing with decks of cards. I mean, hey, you know, sometimes you never know. Like the deck of cards, you know, Magic the Gathering might have a EULA. I don't know if that's the deck you're using. Now, Tigerclaw says Google is about the ads now. That's pure evil. I'm not going to say that is pure evil because Voice of Geeks Network, if you are not subscribed to us on Twitch, you see ads. That does get us like a penny a month. But just the existence of ads is not necessarily evil. I'm going to push back on that. It's not necessarily evil. It can be evil. But just because there are ads and ads exist, that does not immediately go to the evil zone. ZenMonkey11 says, yeah, when I got WWE 2K4, it had multiple EULAs. One of them even had a bug if you declined or connecting like that. The bug made your game forget you bought all the extras. Yes, because there's probably a EULA about the connection between the game and their service that made sure what extras you got. Like, it's legally they have to do it. The lawyers say they have to do this. So let's talk about something a little bit more fun. And it's WWE 2K24, not 2K4. I misread it. I apologize. It's the new game. Not SmackDown versus Raw 2004 or whatever was back then. It probably didn't have a EULA back in 2004, whatever it was. WWF No Mercy for the N64. All right, so let's talk about something. This is a company that we haven't talked about here much at all, but Orange Lounge Radio and I talked about it, and it's a very interesting concept what they've got. It's a company called Evercade. And what Evercade has done is they have started making retro consoles. And they have a retro console, but they have like a retro handheld. And they license a lot of classic games and some indie titles that you can then play on your Evercade. And so you can get an Evercade, like let's say you get the Evercade handheld, and it's got cartridge slots. And so you can get a cartridge of like Commodore 64 games. Or you can get Namco games, or I don't know exactly all the titles they have. And they have both a console that hooks up to your TV, and you have a controller, and it plays all these games that you have. But they're legally licensed from the owners, the rights owners. So it is a way to legally play a lot of these games if that's something you're into. And they even have like an online service that you probably have to sign a EULA for, where you can get other games downloaded to the system. You can also get like free games a month, some free games every month, like an indie game. So people have made indie titles that go directly to the Evercade. It's an interesting thing. Well, they now have decided they're going to come up into the Arcade 1-Up area of things. So the Evercade Alpha was announced earlier this week. And it almost got me, too. But this is a bar top arcade that plays all the cartridges in Evercade as well as some built-in ones. So Destructoid reports that Blaze Entertainment has announced the newest member of the Evercade family, the Evercade Alpha. This version of the hardware takes the form of a tabletop arcade with a dedicated screen. So this is a retro-focused family of consoles and handhelds, and what distinguishes it from many consoles is that the games are stored on cartridges. The collections that they have released included games from consoles, classic microcomputers, and modern digital games. But one of the most important facets of its preservation efforts is with arcade games from developers like Toa Plan and Data East. So it makes sense to have like a form factor that is more arcade-like. So it's got an 8-inch 4x3 screen and compatible levels and competition-level arcade buttons and sticks. So the deluxe version comes with Sanwa buttons, which is this is a higher-end version, but you can also plug in like external controllers to both of them. So there are two versions of this that are coming out. There is the Street Fighter Bar Top Arcade, and this game has built-in, these are both Capcom, has built-in Street Fighter II Champion Edition, Super Street Fighter II Turbo, Super Puzzle Fighter II Turbo, in other words, the best game in the system, Street Fighter Alpha, Warrior's Dream, Street Fighter Alpha 2, and Street Fighter Alpha 3. Then there is also the Mega Man Bar Top Arcade. This has six titles in it. It's got Mega Man, The Power Battle, Mega Man 2, The Power Fighters, Carrier Air Wing, Final Fight, Knights of the Round, and Strider. So what the thing here is, these are Evercades and those games are built in. They are not available on cartridge because Capcom's licensing fee is so high. The only way they can pay them enough money for the licensing fee is if they charge more money. So they've got to put it inside of this Bar Top Arcade. So you can get these for, so the Evercade Alpha will be up for pre-order on June 4th. And will be priced at, and I'm going to use the American version, $229.99. So that's in U.S. dollars. It's also available in euros and pounds because it is a U.K.-based company. The deluxe versions will be more expensive, and the U.S. price has not been announced, but it's going to be £249 or €289, which is probably going to put it closer to the $300 range if they put it out for U.S. The Breakman says no HDMI. No, not for these. You would need to get an the Evercade handheld or the Evercade console, but you wouldn't get these particular Capcom games on those. The standard edition has six built-in Capcom games, a USB-C cable, and they actually say cable and plug included. Because, you know, everything's like, we're only going to give you the cable. You got to supply your own plug. They're actually going to supply you the plug. So if you're like me and you've run out of USB plugs because nothing comes with them anymore and you're recycling all your old ones, you can get one from here. There are three swappable marquees included. So on the actual top of the Evercade, it's got a marquee and it's lit up. But it comes with three swappable marquees, so you could put whatever game you wanted up on the top there. And then the deluxe edition comes with five additional marquees, so that would actually get you all of the games. They don't tell you which ones are in the standard and which ones are in the deluxe. You also get an additional Evercade controller, as well as the upgraded buttons. And it also, you can have two-player local multiplayer because it has two USB ports. You can plug in an official Evercade Alpha, VS, or VSR controller, which are the other Evercade systems and controllers, and play up to two players locally. You can also use multiple third-party controllers and arcade sticks to play with friends because it's USB. But no HDMI output, so you do still have to play on that little screen, that 8-inch screen. And this is a Bar Top thing. Also, one thing it said is that unlike Arcade 1-Up, you don't have to build it. It comes fully assembled. So none of the IKEA building things that you have to do with Arcade 1-Ups. So SJ Renamat says, I totally get this over the $300 Zelda Lego set. Yes, the Great Deku Tree, I believe, is the Lego set for Nintendo this year. And I'm not getting it. No. Breakman says, Mega Man version, they are playing to my weakness. Yes, that's why I was like, I hope Breakman's here tonight. Escher Matt says, I am all in on this. Really like the versatility of it being able to play the Evercade carts. And you can actually put two cartridges in the system, and you can do this on the console as well. And each cartridge probably has like 6 to 8 games in it. So you have all those games also on top of the Capcom one. Now, you can't get a cartridge of the Capcom one, so you can't like buy the Mega Man arcade Evercade and get the Street Fighters on a cartridge. You can't do that. You would have to actually buy both of them to get all the Capcom games. because Capcom likes their money. And because of how much many people like Street Fighter and Mega Man, of course they do. Why not? So it's for like a bar top or a countertop, so it's not a full arcade one-up. Maybe that's where Evercade goes next, is they make a full size, like a three-quarter size or three-fourths size version like Arcade 1-Up that maybe you have to build. Maybe they go there next. People have asked, like, why doesn't Arcade 1-Up do this? And I think it's licensing. I think, honestly, it is the licensing aspect of it, because Arcade 1-Ups have Wi-Fi, and you can even, you know, download firmware updates, and you can have online stuff with an Arcade 1-Up. But I think it's really licensing. The reason the Arcade 1-Ups are priced what they are is because it's the license to for the games. It's not necessarily the build materials, because the building instructions for the Pac-Man machine that's only like $100 or $200 is the same as the Star Wars machine that's $500, except the license for the Star Wars stuff is more expensive. So what you're paying for is the legal license from all the rights holders to whatever's in the game. Fitzroom says, I have a tiny SNK arcade cabinet with like 30 games on it, and it has HDMI. Yes, that's a lot of others have these HDMI out, so you can do that. And it's like I said, I guess Capcom might have said, don't give it HDMI. That might have been part of the licensing, is that, you know, because Capcom, if you want to play Street Fighter, some of these Street Fighter games on your console, you get Street Fighter 6 and you can play them on your console in the little online portion, in the battle hub or whatever they call it. So if you want to play it on your TV, Capcom wants you to do it through their stuff. This is for a different experience, and Capcom themselves don't want to manufacture an arcade cabinet, so they license it out to Evercade, or they license it out. I mean, the Street Fighter stuff's on, there's Arcade 1-Up. There's been a couple Arcade 1-Ups that have the Street Fighter 2 games on it. So these are not necessarily new games to, like, a arcade-like experience for the home. This is just the most latest one. PodCulture says the My Legends Gamer arcade has an HDMI in, so you can hook up other systems. Now, let me just kind of say this. People, hackers gonna hack. So if you want your HDMI out, I'm sure, I'm positive somebody will have figured out in, you know, the first day how to hack this Evercade to have an HDMI out. I promise you, somebody will figure it out. You'll have to do it yourself, but you could do that. But that is not what Capcom wants you doing. But frankly, once it's in your home, who cares? As long as you're not trying to sell that mod and violating copyrights, do what you want. That's my official thing. I almost got this. I was almost like, you know, oh, God, gosh darn it. Because I haven't gotten on the Evercade train. Rob from Orange Lounge Radio has gotten on the Evercade train, because there are like Commodore 64 games and stuff that you can play on it. And it's a neat little console. And like I said, you can buy other cartridges, and it's got two cartridge slots, so you can put both of them in and swap between the games. And then I remembered I spent thousands of dollars to have a custom-built arcade machine that has all these games already, or I have the ability to put all those games on it myself and configure it, and it's full size and it's heavy and it's got lights and it's pretty and stuff. And so I'm able to pass on this because I also don't have a bar top to put it on. But I am happy that it exists, and it is, you know, in the $200 to $300 price range. So for those of you who aren't fortunate enough to be in a position that I am in, to be able to have stuff like this, I think this would be great. And like I said, the other Evercade stuff, Evercade's done some good stuff with their other cartridges, and that can be used on this. So some of those you can play with the same buttons and have an arcade experience from some of those cartridges. And this could be good for you. The Ringman says, didn't you build a bar? I did not build a bar. That is all. Everyone else in my neighborhood built a bar in their basement. I built an arcade, and there's no room for a bar in there. So, and SJR and Matt's like, everybody's talking about my arcade, because I did build an arcade and a home movie theater in my basement. That's what I built with my money. SJR and Matt says, the Bobby arcade doesn't serve alcohol. Excuse me, I was gifted a kegerator. it doesn't work right now. I've got to redo some of the lines or have someone come in and redo the lines. But excuse me, I have a kegerator. So you leave with that don't serve alcohol stuff. You just can't spill it. That's the only thing. If you spill it, then no, you're cut off. Tackle asks, does this support the Neo Geo cartridges because those are pure arcade games? What cartridges do they have? Let me look up Evercade. Let's see, because I haven't talked about this on my show. So cartridges. What do we have for cartridges? We have I think I can even do this. Look at this. Oh, look at this. So these are the cartridges that you can get for Evercade. So even if you don't get the bar top, you can get like their console or their handheld and use these cartridges. They're actually a Tomb Raider collection, so you can play some of the early Tomb Raiders. Let's see, Pico Interactive games. They've got some Sunsoft games. The C64 is the Commodore 64. They can't actually use the term Commodore, so everything is called the C64, and that's all the Commodore 64 stuff. There's a Duke Nukem collection. Let's see, Home Computer Heroes, which is like some like older PC titles and Amiga stuff. Sunsoft, Toa Plan Arcade. So those are some of the other arcade games. I don't know if Neo Geo has any Evercade cartridges, but they've got a lot of other arcade games, like from Irem and Galco and Jaleco. They even have some Intellivision stuff. Atari. Neo Geos have their own minis. Dark to See says they have their own minis. They're not going to license out to Evercade because they want you to buy their mini, and they don't want you to necessarily buy any of anybody else's stuff. But you can get a lot of these, and there's a lot of stuff. Like there's a Namco collection, which is a legacy. I don't even know if it's still around. But like Data East. So there are good arcade games on here. That you could play with, that would be good cartridges to supplement your one of these bar tops for. So they've amassed a pretty good library. Evercade's been around for a couple of years, and they've amassed a pretty good library over the years of cartridges. As Jeremy Matt says, at least I know when Bobby gets the kegerator going, his bar won't be like most craft beer bars and serve 20 IPAs. I hate IPAs. I am a brown and amber ale. That's my go-to. Also, what I'm going to go to is a music break. So we're going to take a quick music break. If you want to call in about some stuff, you can chat about all that. If you can call in, go to our vognetwork.com/Discord. Go to our Discord server. There's a Green Room voice chat channel. Maybe if somebody's in there during the music break, we can talk for just a little bit about some of that stuff. You're participating with the Bobby Blackwell Show and the Voice Geeks Network at twitch.tv/vognetwork.
Come join us in the AI revolution, or continue playing games on easy mode with Bobby Black Wolf. The choice is yours.
Yes, but legally do it. Do not buy the easy mode from a company that stole copyrights. That's what I would say. Play games on easy mode, and I have a lot more fun. If you want to leave a bumper, you do not have to make fun of the fact that I play games on easy mode. All you have to do is get in touch with me on our Discord server, vognetwork.com/Discord, and send me an MP3 file of just your voice or a video of just your voice, of just you and your voice, and I will choose what DMCA violation to put behind it. So coming up next here on the Voice Geeks Network at twitch.tv/vognetwork is not an alcohol show. It is a show about video games. It's Orange Lounge Radio. It's three people out in Sacramento, California. They talk about games for much, much longer than I do, and we like to check in with them. They've been out for a little bit. We like to check in with them, see how they're doing. Sacramento, are you there?
Hi, yes, I am here, and I'm ready to talk about alcohol.
Oh, yeah, because I heard last week you both won and lost at the same time.
Yes. I definitely, yeah, we won the event that we went there to go play. I'm curious what the losing part is.
I heard you celebrated with Malort.
Oh, yeah.
See, we were talking about like alcohol. Come on.
Yeah. Yeah, I was bought a shot of Malort as a congrats. Actually, the bar. So it's funny. So the bar we were having the after party at was a place called Mom's. So mm-hmm. the joke was after party at your mom's once we win. Mm-hmm. And Mom's is a place that serves, I don't know how much I can go on a family friendly show, but Mom's is a place that serves Malort in a shot glass that you can have that looks like a toilet.
Okay.
And two types of toilets. In the men's room, there are two types of toilets. You can get either type of toilet. A shot of Malort. So I was bought a shot of Malort in a regular glass, but it was I'm not as repulsed by it mm-hmm. as other people are. But you've seen me drink Beverly.
Yeah.
Yes. You know,
so to explain what these are, Malort is a Chicago-based, it's an alcohol, so it's not a beer. It's more of like, you know, something you would take a shot of.
Yes, because I don't waste my time with beer. Let's be clear. Maybe I'll drink Guinness, but even Guinness isn't really a beer. Yeah. So it's straight to the hard liquor.
But Malort is called the champagne of pain, and mm-hmm. it is the easiest way to unfriend someone in real life. It is repulsive to just about everybody. And Malort knows it. That's their marketing actually leans into the fact that they are repulsive to most people, which is why it's hilarious. Like, their social media team is on it. They know exactly who they are, and they play off of it, and that's why they're still around. Beverly is an Italian aperitif, I believe.
Which I don't even think they make anymore. It's only for shock value now.
Yeah, it's only for shock value in Atlanta, Orlando, and Vegas at the World of Coke that's there. And so that's our way in Atlanta. That's how we unfriend someone in real life, is we give them Beverly. So that was where I was going with that. But other than that, how was the play?
Well, I also have to – I'm going to link here to my Blue Sky post in chat, and so sorry for the podcast listeners, but mm-hmm. I feel like the shirt I wore to the after party was really underappreciated, which was Jepson's Malort. You know, the company makes Malort, but it was Carly Rae Jepsen. On the shirt. See? Funny. But nobody, I don't think anybody got it because everybody was too drunk off Malort.
So, I liked it. I mean, it is backwards. It's mirrored.
What's in the mirror? I took the picture of the mirror. Yeah.
Yeah. So you need to mirror that.
Well, it's hard to do on a mobile, but I meant in person enough people didn't appreciate it.
I appreciate it.
No, it's all right.
The break man says, I'm not drunk and I still didn't get it. Well, that's because you're a break man.
It's all right. It's highbrow humor here on the Bobby Blackwell Show.
Jepsen is the name of the company that makes Malort. I think that's probably where people need to. That's probably where the connection would be made.
Yes. Yes.
So other than that, did you watch the Sony State of Play? Like, what's your? Are you getting an Evercade? Are you getting an Evercade Alfred?
I kind of want one, yeah. Like, you know, I have the little mini Miss Pac-Man machine behind me here for those that can see the video. Mm-hmm. And I imagine it's going to be very similar in size to that, which is a really good size. I don't need a ton of more of these, like, full-size cabinets because I don't really have the room. But I'd love to get one more little mini cabinet. And I think an Evercade cabinet would actually be a lot of fun. You know, and it's nice because I already have the cartridges to some extent. So, but you got to be careful. Something they don't advertise on the website, and this actually really irritated me. So if I actually put those Namco cartridges I bought, because they don't make them anymore. So I went and bought, I think it was like a $5 or $10 markup to get out of print cartridges because I wanted them because they're Namco. But then I learned the rough lesson. When you put them in the version of the Evercade, I forget what they call it. The Evercade Versus, I think it's called, but it's the one that is intended to hook up to a TV. You get a message that says this cartridge is not licensed to this console. What?
Wow. Okay.
So you can only play it on the handheld Evercade. So this kind of concerns me about this tabletop version.
Right.
The Barcade. I want to know what cartridges are getting locked out of the Barcade due to licensing. And I think this is a very, much as I do think the Evercade is a great concept, it's a great idea, this is something people need to know about that is not very upfront, especially on that cartridge page that you are looking at. There ought to be icons that show what systems they actually play on. So a consumer alert.
Yeah, that would be something. If there was an E3, that is something we would direct someone to ask.
Yes, if there was an E3, but it's sadly that won't be happening. Yeah.
No, that now like tampers my expectation a little bit. Like that's a big thing. So breaking
it's
news.
It's important to know.
Well, I'm glad I asked you about it now, because we would have never known.
on this show. We would have known on Orange Lounge Radio, because I'm sure you would have brought it up.
Yes. But again, I want to stress, I do like the Evercade overall. It's just I think that part was a little bit shady, and I'm not sure it's shady on Evercade's part. It's very clearly a licensing issue. Probably because Namco has, well, they have the arcade one-ups and they have the tabletop things. There's probably, you know, but I don't think Namco has anything particularly portable. So they were probably fine with licensing for the portable. But that to me, that kind of defeats the purpose of what Evercade's supposed to be in the first place. Yeah. So, yeah, just throwing it out there. Not a fan of that, but a fan of everything else Evercade.
Yeah, I think Namco is like, well, we have our Namco collections on console. So if you want to play on TV, you should pay us directly instead of getting...
When was the last time? It's been a while. I think the last collection was on PS3. There might have been one on PS4, but if there was, I missed it. But, you know, I do, again, they have a relationship with Arcade 1-Up, and I don't know to what extent, you know, that they might get locked out of other agreements. And that goes so far as, you know, Arcade 1-Up also makes those cheap TV hookup things. Yeah. You just hook up to your TV. Like, they have much more than just the cabinets, right? But, and I feel like Namco has their own. Like, I feel like I've seen a Pac-Man that hooks up to the TV. And so... Again, it's probably to make sure they don't cannibalize sales of that. But if that's the case, then don't get into business with Evercade or, you know, do what Capcom's doing. And this is also kind of an interesting thing is that, you know, when you get the Capcom, let's say you get the handheld that exists right now with the cat. And I fully expect these consoles to be the same way. When you get those are not cartridges. That is baked into the firmware, those games. So they are not portable. You will not be able to play the Capcom games on the Evercade Versus or anything like that. So that's also something to be aware of, because there is no Capcom cartridge.
No. Yeah, and I even said that if you can't even play like the Street Fighter ones on the Mega Man one. You have to get two of these alphas to get all the Capcom games.
Yep,
so, correct. Yeah, because I think that's the licensing agreement. They don't want... You know, Capcom didn't want a license for handheld or for TV. They only wanted to license for this, so it's locked there.
Capcom is on handheld. There is an Evercade handheld that exists right now with Street Fighter and all that.
Okay.
So it's just the Versus for some reason they want to lock out of. Again, I feel like I've seen a Mega Man thing that hooks with TV and all that, so it's probably a very similar situation to Namco. But at least that's a little more obvious.
Well, that and I'm sure that like they, I don't think Capcom made those handhelds that hook up to the TV and Namco didn't. And so those companies probably have like a non-compete. Like,
you know,
we're going to make this for you and, you know, we're going to license these for you, but you can't license to anybody else that does the same thing for X amount of years.
Exclusive company. Yeah.
You know, that whole, you know, they got to be evil. You got to be evil to be a company. And that this is one of the ways they have to be evil because they're protecting themselves.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
So what else are you going to be talking about on Orange Lounge Radio tonight?
Well, since we're catching up on 2 weeks of news, we want to give our take on the big news. It would be the Nintendo by Sega news of 1983. So we want to give our take on the whole Intellivision and Atari thing. So we'll talk about that. But there is some news from this last week we'll get into as well, including an update on Zelda-based Legos. A very interesting sort of situation with Sony and an interview that they ended up pulling because there were fabrications in their own interview. Very, very interesting of a company that's too big in some ways sometimes in some places. And we'll talk about some of the very strong Xbox announcement leaks that are out there in advance of next Sunday's Xbox announcements. I will also be talking about last night. So I've been traveling a bit lately. So not only was I in Chicago last week, I was in San Francisco last night to go see Dear Friends.
Ooh.
The Final Fantasy Orchestra tour was in San Francisco last night. I would say this is the best one I've seen. This is the fourth one I've gone to, and I'm going to tell you why coming up next.
All right. Orange Lounge Radio is up next, and I do want to mention that, like, you know, the interview thing, because a lot of game developers don't talk to press anymore because it gets misconstrued, and so Sony did this interview with them, and then they misconstrued it. So it's like, And I talked a lot about the console war ending, the longest-running console war ending last week on my show, but it's going to be good to hear OLR's takes about all that stuff. Orange Lounge Radio is back and is up next. Thanks so much, Rob.
Thanks as always, Bobby.
So that is it for me. I will be back next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. We will go over things because Summer Game Fest will happen, and we'll know a little bit more about some of these some of the stuff that's going to be coming out. This is kind of a time that hopefully we can celebrate some of the games, even though I do want to remind that, you know, there's a lot of things going on with workers in video games and a lot of layoffs and stuff, and we're probably going to see more layoffs at the end of the month because it's going to be the end of a quarter. And so just remember that, you know, while this is a great time for games, it's not really a great time for game makers still. And so we should be mindful of that. But, you know, hey, we've got some good announcements coming out and some stuff that we can have fun with video games. I will be back next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, right here at twitch.tv/VogNetwork, the Voice of Geeks Network Twitch channel. Join us live, interact with the show directly, or you can go to our Discord server, VogNetwork.com/Discord, throughout the week and suggest topics that you want me to talk about. I'm also on social media at Bobby Blackwolf or at BobbyBlackwolf.com on Blue Sky, which does not need an invite anymore. You can just get in there. Or you can see us on VogNetwork.com. If you like the show, tell a friend. If you hate the show, tell an enemy. I don't care. Just tell someone. The show is not for everybody, but it may be for somebody who does not know about it yet, and we would not be able to make all this happen without people who go above and beyond with supporting us on Twitch. That helps us just pay the bills, keeps the lights on. So thank you so much, Loki OLR, for resubscribing. Thank you so much for the resubscription tonight. You being here is really all we ask, but those that are able to throw a Prime subscription or a regular subscription or anything like that really does help. So I'm going to go ahead and hit the button, and I will see you next week. And there's going to be a lot of games that we don't know about right now that we're going to know about by next week. Maybe I'll talk about some of them. See you then. Bye.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and are not necessarily the opinions of
the VOG Network, people who need to hire new voiceover guys,
or your mom. Although if Bobby said it, it really should be. This has been a production of Bobby Blackwolf Studios.